In the name of God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen.
So here comes the question that you all knew was coming. Who remembers the sermon last week? Do you remember what I said? That we would have this reading very soon? Think back to what we talked about last week with Peter. It becomes very interesting. You know, in the last week, we've had the further riots at Berkeley, the hurricane. There's been the Nashville statement has come out. The Charlottesville statement has come out. All kinds of well, craziness, which seems to be the new normal. Peter, once again, sticks his hip in his mouth. And that's not a bad thing. If you remember last week, hopefully you've begun to see the reason that Peter stuck his hip in his mouth all the time. You recall that I told you when you make a mistake, it's a lot like putting your thumb on a nail and hitting it with a hammer. You don't do it twice in a row. I don't know how we've come to the place that we've come to. I don't know how, as human beings, let alone Christians, we've gone from love trumps hate to the epithets that we scream at people. I think some of that can be seen in Peter. You know, he hears something from Christ. He hears that Christ himself knows that he's going to Jerusalem to stand before the scribes and Pharisees, and that he's going to suffer, and that he's going to be killed. He knows this. He understands this. How does Peter react? He reacts emotionally. It's a visceral response. Lord, you can't die. I'm not going to let you. As if Peter had any power to stop it. But it's that emotional response, that flying off the handle, that causes the rebuke from Christ. And let's be honest, I think we can all agree, no matter where we find ourselves, on whatever spectrum you choose to use as some sort of weird metric, that this year especially, we've been flying off the handle. We have acted from pure emotions, pure feelings, pure ideals. And that's not what we're called to do. One of the most fascinating things about the two statements, the Nashville statement and the Charlottesville statement, and just to give you a little bit of background, the Nashville statement, and before we even get into that, the reason that the Nashville statement is called the Nashville statement is because the meeting was in Nashville. The reason that the Charlottesville statement was called the Charlottesville statement was that the meeting was in Charlottesville. We see this throughout church history. The Council of Nicaea is called the Council of Nicaea because it was in Nicaea. But here's the two differences. The Nashville statement is a statement that was put out on basically traditional Christian values. Okay? The Charlottesville statement was a statement that was rebuking the traditional values. And I'm using these words, you know, so that you have an idea, an understanding of what I'm talking about. But the Charlottesville statement was the more modern understanding of Christianity. What it amounted to was you have 2,000 years of Christian teaching on one hand, and people basically calling your mother ugly on the other hand. Except there's a problem with both sides. What is your responsibility as a Christian? And where do you find that responsibility? You know, that was kind of one of the points of Peter today in the gospel. Where does your responsibility come from? Where does your understanding come from, you or God? The readings we have today, all three identify that. Think back to Jeremiah. In that passage, Jeremiah begins to kind of go his own way and finds himself crushed under a great weight. It's a lot like the Greek person that's rolling a hill forever up a, or rolling a rock forever up a hill. Every time he gets to the top, the rock rolls back down. Jeremiah felt crushed by that. But what does God say? If you turn, if you come back, you will stand before me. I'll accept you. I will take you. You will be mine again. Notice the again. If that's not enough for you, look at Paul's letter as how we are to act as Christians. Are we supposed to be fighting our enemies? This is not a rhetorical question. Are we supposed to be fighting our enemies? Are we supposed to be hating people?
No.
Thank you. What are we supposed to be doing?
Standing in the gap.
Standing in the gap. Praying for them, feeding them, clothing them, binding their wounds. Something that we seem to have forgotten as a church, and especially when we call ourselves Christians, it is not about us. It is about God. It is not about us. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. It's interesting, you know, going through these readings, I actually thought back to my interview here, and you probably remember it too, Jill. I was actually asked, what do you see at St. Francis? How do we function as a church? My response was very simple then and today. Follow God and the rest will come. Our responsibility isn't even to go out and help everyone we can. Our responsibility isn't to grow the church. Our responsibility, the whole ideology behind Christianity, is to follow God. It is within God that we find those things taken care of. It is knowing God that we find our path forward. It is in following Christ that we go out and bind wounds and feed the hungry and build buildings and help people in floods. It is through Christ that we find our compassion to reach out to the hurting. It's something we forgot. We go through and we do these emotional responses. We do these responses based on feelings. And if you remember last week when I spoke about that, one of the things that I said was there was just a study done that shows how feelings change memories. In other words, feelings change understandings. The bottom line there is feelings can show you a point that's not there. Feelings are what drove Peter to say, "Not you, Lord, I forbid it." Had that been possible, we would not be meeting in this building. Had Peter gotten his way based on his feelings, salvation would not be open to the human race. But that statement and the correction by Christ are what ensures that Peter was a better leader after the resurrection. Mistakes are okay. Everybody makes them. As a matter of fact, who here knows the definition of insanity? Anyone?
Doing the same thing over and over, looking for a different outcome.
Doing the same thing over and over while looking for a different outcome. It is the guy that goes 90 miles an hour towards a corner and misses, gets another car and goes 90 miles an hour towards the corner again because he's convinced he can make it. That's pretty much where we are, is it not? Political leaders, countries. And this is not exclusive to America. We collectively as a human race have stopped dreaming. We've stopped striving. We've stopped seeking. But oh boy, have we started feeling. One of the most popular things now is hashtag woke. I don't even think the people that put it out know what that means. So I'm going to leave you with a final thought as we've talked about this. Sometimes progress is taking two steps back. Sometimes progress is taking two steps back. We need to reconnect with what we are and what we are supposed to be. We need to remind ourselves of what the Christian faith is to be about and move forward in the knowledge that all things are possible through Christ. And that he that is in the world is not greater than he that is in us. Like Peter, we say stupid things. Correct those things and move forward. Pray for your enemies. Weep with those who weep. Bind up the brokenhearted. But remember that you bear the mantle of Christ. Amen.